Welcome back, Coast to Coast AM. I am your host, Jimmy Church. We are not quite there yet. We're not. Yeah, we are in Sunday morning. I thought it said 11:11, but it's not. It's 1:11 right now. You like that? You like that, Mike? Mike's going to come in to the studio next time around and go, every time I look at my watch, it says 11:11. Let's go straight back to the phones. I'm going to go out west to Victor in Indio, California. Victor, welcome to Coast.
Hello, guys. I live, I have a canyon that goes to Death Valley. It's only like 20 miles. But anyways, the reason why I called is because I was actually there in 1975 when that Walter Travis got abduction. I was the caller who called it in to the police. And I'd like to know what your host had to say. Did he believe in the story that it was true, or he didn't believe?
Well, for me, Victor, yeah, I didn't. That's pretty incredible that you were the guy that called the police that night. The Travis, he is somebody that, you know, I know Travis pretty well, and I've sat with him. He's been a guest on my show many times in person and over the phone, and I've had breakfast with him. I've had lunch. I've had dinner, and I'm able to just look into his eyes and hear him communicate. And there is an authenticity to Travis that I don't get through most people. But Travis is that authentic. I don't have another way to put it. I just think he's honest, and he went through something that is just absolutely incredible. There are other elements to his experience, not only with the crew that was around him, but it was the lie detector test, the years and years of scrutiny and interviews and hard times that he went through too with skeptics and debunkers that he had to endure. And I believe that his story is real. I think that it happened. And I just find it incredible, Victor. And it's interesting that you were there that night. Did you actually see it happen?
I actually did see it happen. I actually pulled up. I was in back of a truck. And as I got there, I thought it was a fire. I told the story before on Coast to Coast. But then I looked to my left because I'm going north to Arizona, to Nevada. And I looked to my left, and there's men with cameras, about 100 or 50 men. And they were all Americans, and they all had their cameras pointed to the mountain. And what we saw was a circle, like a bubble, UFO with smoke inside. And electricity going inside the circle, and it was just so scary. It was a big surprise to me that there was a spaceship there.
Did you ever get a chance to talk to Travis?
No, I never got to talk to Travis. But the town that they found him in, I passed right through it.
Right.
I made it through. I made it through before they let him go.
Yeah, that's a snowflake.
Yeah, snowflake. Yeah. And my question was, is that your host that you had today, did he believe the story?
Well, I can't speak for Grant, but, we talked a little bit about it tonight. I can't speak for Grant, but as far as my personal view is, I've talked to Travis so many times, and I there's just an authenticity to him as a human being. So there you go.
Night,
yeah.
That night, there was more than one person taken into the spaceships. The people that were traveling on the freeway in front of the mountain, both going south and north, there was a family coming from the north. There was a mother and a daughter who got taken. And when they got released back, they got put into the wrong car.
Wow, I haven't heard that. Yeah. I haven't heard that before. If anybody else is out there knows anything about that, I would love to hear about it. And you can certainly hit me up on Twitter. Victor, enjoy the rest of your weekend, my friend. Thank you so much.
Bless you guys.
Yeah, absolutely. I didn't know that there was a mother and daughter also abducted and placed into the wrong car. Let's go to Wayne in Tacoma, Washington. Wayne, you're up next on Coast. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Brother Jimmy, for taking my call.
Right on, Wayne. What's on your mind?
Wanting to find out about, I haven't heard much from Bill Burns lately, and also his controversy with the Maury Island incident. You know, he came out very strongly in the video he did on that, that it was a real thing, and then later he kind of retracted that. Do you know anything about that and what you might know about the Maury Island event?
Well, yeah, very, very interesting case, no doubt. And when you research ufology and you go back in time, you know, to Roswell and also the Rhodes photographs that happened around that same time, which were taken in Phoenix, not in New Mexico, but also 1947. And then you start to back up and look at, you know, of course, Mount Rainier. And then you have Maury Island, and all in the same area, you know, up in Washington. It's a case that has been debunked, has certainly attempted debunking, I should say. And then there is a ton of research into the story. And it was also covered in Project Blue Book last season. And they did a very interesting take on it as well. Historically, it's there. What actually happened, you know, we don't know. There are a few things about Maury Island that, for me, it's not the debris that came down. That's certainly interesting. But it's that the evidence and then the plane crash and people dying right after that, that were leaving Seattle with the evidence. And that's a pretty interesting twist on it as well. Now, as far as Bill Burns goes, I haven't spoken to Bill in probably 4 or 5 years. I don't think that I ever talked to Bill directly about Maury Island or about a retraction. So I haven't heard from Bill. Have you heard from Bill?
No, sir.
Yeah, I haven't heard. I haven't spoken to Bill probably in 4 or 5 years. But yeah, and you're up there. You're in Tacoma, and that's part of, you know, urban legend and urban lore. Right there is Maury Island. Have you been out to Maury Island yourself?
I used to fish right out in that area,
right,
almost every other week a month with my dad, because he's an avid fisherman, and we used to run all around there fishing.
Yeah, yeah, it's a great area for that. You know, Bainbridge Island, and it's I spent a lot of time up there myself. Never saw anything strange. Well, at least not UFO-wise. Wayne, enjoy the rest of your weekend, and thank you for the phone call.
Thank you very much, Jimmy.
Yeah, right on. Wayne needs to be in radio. Telling you right now, he's gunning for the job. Let's go to you know what? I'm gonna go to Fairbanks, Alaska. Mike, you're up next on Coast to Coast.
Hello, Mr. Church. I'm glad to talk to you again. I've got an interesting story. This is the truth. We just got home from work from Beverly Hills. We're in a little town called Lawndale in South Bay, Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
And it was in the winter, and my mom had the last vacant lots, probably in all of South Bay. But I had a campfire in the backyard. It was like my own little jungle. But all my friends would come there. We'd have a beer after work, fire up the campfire. So I'm leaning backwards up against the fire, looking out towards the Pacific Ocean. To my right would be LAX, and to my left would be Catalina Island.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking to the right, and there's like wispy clouds up in the sky, but real dark blue, winter blue. I look to the right, I look up in the sky, and I see something. And I couldn't believe it. It was shaped like a V-2 bomber, but bigger. And the scallops were bigger on the rear tail, on the rear edge, trailing edge. And in the center of each wing was an oblong hole. Now, this jet, or whatever it was, it wasn't leaving a contrail. You couldn't see any markings of a jet engine, you know, heat waves or whatever, or contrails, but it was going so fast, I could not believe it. It was going probably 4 times faster than a normal airliner. And I'm going, look at you guys, look at this, look up. And Only two of my friends would look up. The other two were talking to each other, drinking their Coors. And Shane and RT looked up, and this thing was flying so fast. It went straight up over my head, and I could see the clouds through the oblong holes as this wispy, it was white, kind of cloudy white, this jet. And as it headed out towards the Pacific Ocean, I'd say over Redondo Beach, Palos Verdes, and when it got towards Catalina, not quite towards Catalina, it disappeared. It flat disappeared. And I looked at my friends. I go, did you see that? They go, what the hell happened to it? Excuse my language. What the heck happened to it? I'm telling you, Jimmy, that thing flat disappeared in front of my eyes. And it was traveling at about, if I were to estimate altitude, it'd be about 40,000 feet to 50,000 feet. And it was at least 3 to 4 times bigger than a B-2 bomber.
You know, what's interesting about what you are describing, it's not what you saw was interesting, but it's that area, that Redondo Beach, Hermosa Beach to Catalina Island, that area, Santa Monica. I have heard report after report after report after report from, and I don't know what's going on. I don't know if it's Catalina Island. I don't know. One of the most incredible sightings that has ever happened on there was with Steve Murillo. He's Redondo Beach, right where you're talking about, Lawndale, right?
Right.
And he's on the roof of his house. And he had, I think it was three objects that came from Catalina and over Redondo Beach heading east, went right over his house. And that is what got him into ufology. He ended up being the director of MUFON in Los Angeles for the next 13 years or whatever it was. And
I couldn't believe my eyes. I could not believe my eyes. And my friends, they go, what happened? We know what we just saw. And I've asked them over and over again, because this happened in 2006.
Yeah, it's very interesting. Yeah, Mike, that's one of the great areas. And you're not the only one. Ronald Reagan had his sighting right there. Wow. I mean, just so many incredible things. And,
do you know that Catalina, the Smithsonian Institution, snuck over there and excavated giants?
Yeah, I know.
Skeletons off it. And I wonder if that island is fantastic. Do you know there's a gold mine on there that's so rich? And if you look at the riprap that they built the Redondo Beach breakwater out of, go look at that water, that riprap, those boulders that they put in there after the storm of, I forget what year it is, blew it out. They raised the elevation of the breakwater approximately 20 feet. And they got all that from a quarry in a pit on Catalina Island. And they barged it over, and they had a giant crane on top of the breakwater. They kept backfilling it with sand so the crane could walk out there, and they literally raised this thing up with, I think, some of the most mineralized, I'm a gold miner, and this is some of the most mineralized rock, riprap, boulders I've ever seen in my life, and they blew it out of a pit over there. I think Wrigley owned it.
Yeah, Wrigley did. Hey, Mike, enjoy the rest of your weekend, and stay safe up there in Alaska. That's a great phone call right there, and all kinds of crazy things right there between Redondo Beach and Catalina Island. Let's go to first-time caller, Debbie, Jackson, California. Debbie, you're up next.
Thank you.
Debbie, what's on your mind?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. At the beginning of your show, you were talking about an event that's happening up in Laughlin, Nevada.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody, and Grant started talking about night vision goggles.
That's right.
And you can see all kinds of, you can see the stars really great, and you can also, if you're lucky, see some UFOs.
That's right.
What kind of night vision goggles would somebody need to get in order to see these things?
What you would do is you can write this down. You want to get Generation 3. Gen 3. There are a lot of different kinds out there. There are monoculars, and then there are goggles that have two eyepieces on it. It's going to have one lens out the front. You've seen soldiers with them hanging off their helmets, right? It's the same thing. And you want to get a Generation 3, whether you get one that is like a telescope, a monocular, they call it, or something a little more sophisticated. And that's where you want to go. I can't say any more than that because...
Right, I understand.
Yeah, I can't really recommend anything very specific, you know, like a brand. But, I'm right on the edge of ethics here. But, yeah, search Generation 3.
Generation 3. Okay. And maybe I'll see you in Laughlin.
Laughlin's going to be great. And this is the thing. All of the conferences. Look, George and I, we go out and we're hosting conferences together all year long. And it's really fun for us to go out there and hang out, you know, with the fans and all of the attendees. And it's a time for us to escape. You know, we're always in the studio, right? We're on the air every single night. And this year, of course, the UFO community, but it's everybody. Everything has been canceled. And, you know, sporting events and everything, rock concerts, you know, bars and restaurants, everything is closed, and that includes us. But the Laughlin event is the one event all year long that hasn't been canceled yet, and it is in November. So I hope to see you there, and it's going to be great. This year, it's called the UFOs and Artificial Intelligence Conference, and I'll be speaking and hosting. And, come on out. And, Debbie, would love to meet you and say hi.
Okay, thank you very much. I'd love to meet you guys, too.
Yeah, thank you so much, Debbie. Enjoy the rest of your weekend.
Oh, I will. Thank you so much. You, too.
Thank you for the call. Night vision goggles. The first time that I was able to experience that, all of you will remember when I came back, and that was 2014. I came back after seeing the famous green chrome balls and came right back on Coast to Coast and told the entire story right here. And that was a game-changing, life-changing event for me. If you ever get a chance to go out and do an authentic night watch, sky watch, with night vision goggles, and certainly if I'm there, come and hang out with us. It's absolutely amazing. I'm going to get out of here and take a break. I'll be back with more of your phone calls right after this. This is Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back, Coast to Coast AM. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. Last segment, Saturday night, Sunday morning, and it's been a couple of weeks since I've been here on Coast, and it's good to be back. Let's get straight to the phones. Let's see. I'm going to go with Nick in St. Petersburg, Florida. Nick, you're up next.
Hello. Thanks, guys. Well, thank you for taking my call. I appreciate it. I've been trying to share the story for years on Coast to Coast and never been able to get through. My buddy and I, we went to college in Ocala, Florida. And so each weekend we would come back. And you know, we get care packages and stuff like from our parents, and they wash our clothes and whatever. And so one Sunday night, we were going, you know, back to school, and so from St. Petersburg to Ocala, there's it's nothing but farm country on 275. So we were going through this, you know, dark stretch of road, and I noticed this bright blue neon contraption, and it was hovering about, I'd say the length of a football field up in the air. It was just above the power line, and it was just going slowly over the cow pastures. And just before we intersected on 275, it took off like a blue flash. I mean, it went light speed, and it was the weirdest thing that I have ever seen. And we were sitting, my buddy and I, we were sitting there in silence. Like, it's one of the rare times that we didn't have any music on, nothing, the windows down. And we were just watching this thing going along, and we didn't say a word. And then this thing took off, like, light speed, when like a blue, neon blue streak, you know, going, you know, east to west over the highway. And we sat there for about 10 seconds without saying a word. And we both looked at each other and we were like, did you just see what I just saw? And just to make sure that we weren't both going crazy, because I was like, you know, I had never seen anything like that. I don't know if anybody else has.
Just you describing that to me, Nick, I was with a group of people, and we just had a caller earlier mention this. So we were all together. We had a caller earlier tonight that said he was with us one night. And without night vision, nothing up above us. And I happened to be looking at the right place at the right time. Check this out, Mike. It was a backwards Z. And it was the color of like aquamarine. It wasn't turquoise. It was more like a surf green, and it lit up, but it took up a huge chunk of the sky. I'm putting up my arms right now in the studio, and I've got them like 2 feet apart. So imagine that chunk of the sky. And it came across from right to left, and it made a backward Z. It came down and then shot across, and it powered up at the beginning and came down, made the Z. And as it took off, it powered back down, like phased out. But then it hit its high beams twice, beep, beep, and then gone. Now, this is the thing, and check this out, Nick. When this happened, there was about 50 or 100 of us standing out there, but 100 people screamed at the same time. Screamed. And it was just, it did it just for us. It, like, powered up, and it was this color of, you know, this aquamarine, but it streaked. And this Z figure that it made, it probably, the entire sighting was probably 3 seconds. Just zit, 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 gone.
Yeah, it was hovering, and I just happened to notice it. And it, like, it was just hovering over this cow field, and then there was a pasture on the other side. And it was hovering, hovering, hovering. And just before we intersected on 275, it just went gone.
Like, yeah, yeah. And it's the color, too, that you described. It is very similar to what all of us saw. And this is the thing. Nick, I want you to enjoy your weekend, and thank you for the phone call. But the witnesses that were there with us that night, there is somebody listening right now on Coast that's exactly what happened. Exactly like Jimmy is saying right now is how it went down. I was there. It was just incredible. Let's go to Walt in Allentown, Pennsylvania. Walt, welcome to Coast.
Jimmy, once again, you got Walt the atheist going to church. So.
Yeah, right on, Walt. What's on your mind?
Well, yeah, I really enjoy it. I couldn't get through the other night when George has a Mr. Lobo and some of these other horror film aficionados and whatnot. And I was wondering, what is your favorite horror or science fiction films? I think the best were the original ones in 51, The Day the Earth Stood Still and The Thing from Another World. And,
yeah, yeah.
And also the very early ones, naturally from the 30s, Frankenstein, The Bride of Frankenstein. Of course, you had King Kong.
Yeah, yeah. Well, if you're asking for mine, It's very simple. If I'm going to go from the 50s, I'm going to go Fantastic Planet. My favorite science fiction film of all time, 2001 A Space Odyssey. But Close Encounters of the Third Kind, War of the Worlds, either version, the Spielberg version or the original version, fantastic. Horror films, man, I'm all about Stanley Kubrick and The Shining. And that's I like that kind of horror film that you have to think, and that's where I'm at. Love all the old Frankenstein stuff though. Yeah. So
I'd like to see Mr. Loeb or some of these other people write a book about some of the actors and actresses that sort of got typecast into horror and science fiction. Like remember Kenneth Toby played the. He was the military leader in The Thing from Another World from 51, and he also was in It Came from Beneath the Sea.
Yeah. Guys like that, and ladies like that, I should say, typecast over and over again. You're right about that. You would see the same guy play the general or the sergeant in the military fighting aliens in every single movie. Yeah, you're right about that, Walt. And thank you for the phone call, and enjoy your weekend, man. Let's see. I'm going to go with JT in Indianapolis. JT, you're up next on Coast.
Hey, Jimmy, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. So that means you're driving your truck.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. Right on.
Hey, so hey, Grant just barely skimmed over it, and I don't know if you caught it or not. The Bob McGuire reference that was on his show just July 15th, just this last week.
Right.
About 35 minutes in, if you want to go on YouTube and find that. And Bob really didn't talk about it much either, but he talked about he had seen a letter that he was told was written by Admiral Wilson. And it was signed by Admiral Wilson. He doesn't know how the person got it. Thinks it was through classified mail, he said. And it was. And he used the word griping, that Wilson was griping about not being able to get the information he wanted to get into.
Mm-hmm.
Totally separate from the Davis-Wilson document.
Right.
And, of course, the person asked him also, he says, well, what do you think of it? And Bob said he told him it was like a minefield, and to run the other way is what he told that guy. And he said he still talks to the guy, but they don't discuss it anymore. They don't discuss that letter. And then Nicole Sakic was on there. I think I said her name right. And she asked him, and oh, that's the other thing. Bob said that he recalled that he had written a diary. He kept an extensive diary, and he went back and looked in his diary, and he had seen that letter at a classified location with that person. He would never mention the person's name, but the letter that was written after the Davis-Wilson document came out.
Yeah, I want to see the letter myself and read through it. I've been hearing a lot about it over the last week, and so I would like to check it out, and right. I'll have comment then. I can talk to Bob, but I'll reserve comment, and then I'll say something on the show this week. All right.
Okay. And I would wonder if Wilson would deny that letter as well as the Davis-Wilson document.
Yeah, I don't think Admiral Wilson at this point is going to change course or change his story. I don't think that he can. But he's already made his statements, and he's done it over and over again, and I think he's just going to stick with it, and that's as far as that is going to go. It's everybody else that is involved, and that's Eric Davis and the other names that are in that document, that those people need to just come out and go, look, it all happened. That's it. I stand by it. And then we can start to move on. JT, correct. Enjoy your weekend, man, and be safe out there on the road. Give me some horns.
All right. All right, numbers 624 to 26, everybody. Go back to Tepe, and here you go, insiders and fader nuts. This is for all of you.
That's what I'm talking about. JT, driving that truck in Indianapolis. Let's go to Nancy in Seattle, Washington. Nancy, you're up next on Coast. Welcome.
I'm not in Seattle, but I'm near it, and I've only been hearing Coast to Coast for a little less than a year, because I only moved here a little over a year ago and had never heard this program until I moved here. And I'm a night person, so it fits.
Well, there you go. Nancy, we've been on the air for 25 years.
I gather that from all the listening I've been doing.
Yeah. Lately.
But I was very appreciative that you gave the information on how to find you on Fade to Black.
Yeah, right on.
Because I'd heard you refer to it before, but I didn't know when and where you were on the dial. And I'm not a computer person anymore, so I couldn't be looking you up on the computer. And I so appreciate your giving the actual information.
Yeah, well, that's great. And don't forget, Nancy, this is the best thing. You've been listening to Coast for the last year. You're gonna check me out, and then when you're done listening to my show, you're gonna go straight over to Coast, and since you're a night person, mm-hmm. 7 hours of UFO, paranormal, ghost stories.
I hear at 4 a.m.
Doesn't get any better, does it?
Well, sometimes they're going on to talk about something else that I want to hear, and it's ending here. They're not playing it here on the station that I get it anyway.
Well, just become a Coast Insider, and you can play it anytime you want. What's on your mind tonight, Nancy?
Well, just one last question about that. Do you always talk about the UFO things? Because that seems to be your primary thing, and that's my primary thing.
Well, if it's your primary thing, Nancy, then it's mine.
Okay, you're so accommodating. Okay, my mother, I didn't even remember this until I saw the movie Close Encounters of the Third Kind. I had totally forgotten it, that when I was a junior in high school in 1957, so I'm pretty old, we had a sighting, and I had forgotten about it. And when I saw Close Encounters, what we saw, my mother and I, was in the movie. And it wasn't the big thing, the big mothership. It was those little dancing balls that would follow the ship, and, you know, in different colors.
Yep.
With a red one and a green one. And I would say it was between a third of a football field and a half of the football field away. It wasn't very far away. And we were on a two-lane road in the afternoon. It had to be summer because I wasn't in winter clothes in California, Northern California. And it was about 4 o'clock or 4:30 in the afternoon. And we were on a two-lane road, and by the time we recognized what we were seeing, something strange, all the traffic in both directions had stopped. Everybody was looking at it. It wasn't there very long, definitely wasn't more than half a minute. And the road was a little bit raised, and then you kind of looked down a little bit, and there was just a field right next to the road with very few trees in it, beautiful green grass. And these two, I don't know what to call them, these two balls. Is that what people call orbs? Those colored balls?
It sounds like that's what you saw, yeah.
Well, I've heard people on this program refer to orbs, and I wasn't sure if that was the same thing, because nobody ever described
it. Well, did it look like what was in Close Encounters? I would call that an orb.
Yeah, the little things that bobbed around that were like, in the one scene where they were really obvious, they were kind of like a childlike thing in the movie.
Yeah, totally. And Nancy, listen, we're almost at the end of the show, and I don't want to cut you off. So what happened next?
Well, they just bobbed up and down there for, like I said, about a half a minute, and then they just took off, just darted out over us, over the road, and off over the hill.
What did your mom say?
Well, we just looked at each other. We didn't know what to say, because in those days, you know, there weren't a lot of sightings. You hadn't heard about sightings that much. You know, I had heard about... a thing in New Mexico, and that was about it, you know. And we didn't talk about it for years because, you know, you don't talk about those things in those days. And even my mother and I didn't talk about it. But she did ask me a few years ago before she died, she asked me if she was remembering it correctly. Did we really see that?
Nancy, I want to thank you for taking the time to call in and share that with us. Thank you so much. And enjoy the rest of your weekend up there in Seattle.
You too. Thank you.
Thank you. That is a great phone call right there. Thank you, Nancy. And that is a great way to end another night here on Coast to Coast AM. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. Got to thank Mike, Donna, Chris, Tim, Lex, Sean, Lisa, Stephanie, George, and my beautiful wife, Rita. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. Until next time, go Beckley Tepe.